Okay. So the Balaturim at the beginning of the Parsha brings a Medrash, Parsha's Truma. The Parsha starts, Darbel b'nei Yisrael, v'yikuli Truma. So we're supposed to, Hashem tells Moshe to tell the people to donate money to build the Mishkan. And the Medrash says, the first Balaturim brings it, Pasach Daberel b'nei Yisrael. The Torah starts this Parsha of building the Mishkan with the words, Daberel b'nei Yisrael, speak to b'nei Yisrael. Lashon Pius. This Lashon of Daberel b'nei Yisrael, the Medrash connects with the Lashon of Dabru Alev Yerushalayim, which is a pasuk at the beginning of the first of Nachamu Ami, the Haftorah, the Haftorah in Parshas Va'eschanan, the Haftorah of Consolation. Daberel b'nei Yisrael is a Lashon of Pius, a Lashon of appeasing, comforting. Why do we need appeasing and comforting for the building of the Mishkan? B'shvil shahayabo chisaron kis. Since Klal Yisrael was going to lose money, it costs money. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem instructed Moshe not only to go and collect money, collect gold, silver for the Mishkan, but at the same time to appease Klal Yisrael for the fact that it was going to be hard for them, that they were going to have to spend money. So now, if you think about this in its context, Rabbi Yeruchim really points this out. Think about it in its context, right? What are we talking about here? Are you coming now to build a house for the Shekhinah, right? It's going to be a level of holiness and a level of closeness to Hashem that was heretofore completely unattainable. The building of this structure, right, will provide newfound opportunities for growth, for connection to Hashem, impossible to attain before now. You know, overall, this is an overwhelmingly positive event. This is going to be a very positive thing. Nonetheless, even though Hashem knew that there would be a tremendous amount of excitement, a tremendous amount of inspiration associated with people donating money for the Mishkan, donating precious metals for the Mishkan, there would be some difficulty associated with it, right? People would be giving and they'd be excited about it, but there'd be some feelings of pain in having to part with their money. And this requires sensitivity. It needs to be addressed directly. You have to be mefayis them. Hashem told Moshe to go to Klal Yisrael and raise money for the Mishkan, but at the same time, even though people are going to be excited to donate money, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to build a house for the Shekhinah and have tremendous, tremendous ruchnius attainments as a result of that. Nonetheless, if there's going to be an element of difficulty for Klal Yisrael, that can't be ignored, right? That difficulty they would experience, Moshe has to be mefayis them. Moshe has to calm them down, explain to them that it's okay, right? Be sensitive to their feelings, be sensitive to their emotions, notwithstanding the fact that it was overall a very positive thing. In last week's parsha also, we see the care that the Torah wants us to relate to the experiences of other people, right? Then last week's parsha as well, the pasuk says towards the end of Parshas Mishpatim when it's describing Matan Torah, Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael. It says Klal Yisrael saw Hashem, v'tachas raglav kemasei livnas asapir. Under his feet was that which had the form of a sapphire brick. What does that mean? So Rashi brings down, the Medrash explains that at the time the Klal Yisrael was in Shiva, the time that we were avadim in Mitzrayim, that we were experiencing the bondage in Mitzrayim, Hashem kept, so to speak, a levena. He kept a brick in front of him all the time to facilitate. Not that Hashem needs a reminder. It's for us, to teach us, to facilitate remaining consistently cognizant of the sorrows that Bnei Yisrael were experiencing. Right? Obviously, anything the Torah is telling us about Hashem, the way Hashem, so to speak, conducts himself, is there only to teach us how we're supposed to live our lives. And the Torah says in last week's parasha that when Klal Yisrael saw Hashem at Matan Torah, he had this brick in front of him, and the brick was there to maintain a constant awareness, a constant keen awareness of the sorrows, the bricks, the difficulty, the back-breaking labor that Klal Yisrael was experiencing while they're in Mitzrayim. And the Torah is basically telling us that when other people are going through a hard time, the same way Hashem treated us, we're meant to treat other people. If you have other people in your life who are going through a difficult time or going through something hard, you're supposed to be trying your utmost to not only think about it, but to almost experience it, to have a brick in front of you, to think about what that must be like, to have to be lifting bricks all day, even though you're not experiencing that. You're fine right now, right? You need to be trying your best to connect to that. Not only that, if you think about, right, all these midrashim, when you come across these rashis, you have to think about them in their context, think about them, where they're saying it, where the Torah is teaching us that. The Torah is teaching us this at a time where the Shibud is already over. They're at Har Sinai right now, and the Levena, that brick, is still there. They're not Avadim right now. It's over. Right? So the Torah is not only saying that while your friend is experiencing that event, that difficulty in his life, you need to remain cognizant of that. Think about that. Think about the tsaris that he's going through. Try to experience what he's experiencing. Try to connect to the difficulties that he's having. Even after it's over, you need to think about the difficulties that your friend had in the past. and how that will come to bear on experience in the present. Right? The Torah, Hashem keeps the brick is still there. They left. They're not avodim anymore. They're getting the Torah right now. The brick is still there. Hashem is still reminded and remembering all the difficulties, the years that we spent in Mitzrayim, the bondage in Mitzrayim, and what that means for us going forward. At the same time, the pasuk finishes, that pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, by Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael v'tachas raglav k'masei livna sasapir u'ke'etzem hashamayim v'etzem hashamayim latohar, which means it was like the appearance of the heavens in purity. Trusty art scroll. The appearance of the heavens in purity. But Rashi says what that means is once Klal Yisrael were nigalu, once they were redeemed, there was or v'chedva lefanav. There was light and gladness in front of Hashem. So at this, there was a brick, right? There was a brick symbolizing all the shibud, all the difficulty, the years of toil, of backbreaking labor in Mitzrayim. And once Klal Yisrael was freed, there was light and gladness in front of Hashem. Hashem was experiencing the freedom, the exodus with us. Hashem was so happy that we were experiencing what we were experiencing. He was happy for us. And he was experiencing the chayrus as well. And these three examples, this medrash at the beginning of Truma, and these two concepts in Parshas Mishpatim, if you look at them as a totality, right, they're coming to inculcate within us a tremendous degree of sensitivity and care, concern for the feelings of other people, for the experiences of other people. The Torah wants us to emulate Hashem in all of these ways. How are we supposed to do that? How do you do that? How do you develop that level of sensitivity? How do you care so much? How do you care so much about other people? How do you develop this degree of empathy with other people, of being happy when other people are happy, paying close attention to the details of the experiences that they're having? How do you do that? How does Hashem expect us to do that? So the answer to that is that the key to all of this really lies in the mitzvos bein adam l'chaveiro, which Hashem commanded us to do. All the mitzvos bein adam l'chaveiro that we're commanded to do, the interpersonal mitzvos that Hashem commands us to do, if they're done properly, we should be able to develop these types of sensitivities. Where's the problem? Why is it true that many people keep the mitzvos bein adam l'chaveiro and fail to develop this level of sensitivity for other people? So the reason is something that we've discussed in other contexts, but it applies just as well over here. Very often, people relate to mitzvos in general, certainly between man and God, and even between man and his fellow man, we relate to them as like these actions that need to be done, right? There's a certain thing, in this scenario, do this. In this scenario, don't do that. And so we follow the to-do and to-not-do list without trying to connect to the ideas that those actions that are mandated or prohibited are coming to bring about, right? There's a... The things that we're supposed to do and the things that we're not supposed to do, it's not just supposed to be these actions that we relate to as certain things that Hashem wants us to do and wants us to not do, right? These actions that Hashem is telling us to do are supposed to create an attitude, right? It's supposed to be a thought process that we're supposed to generate with regard to other people. For example, Rav Yerucham speaks about the fact that when a person is learning Bava Kama, or you go through Parshas Mishpatim, last week's Parsha, and you go through all the different dinim of Nezikin, right? All the different dinim, the Psukim and the Chumash, the Mishnayos, the Gemara, is about how you're supposed to be careful not to damage other people, what happens if you do damage somebody else, how much do you have to pay, in which circumstances. It's possible to go through all of that in a very, very painstaking way, get total clarity about exactly what you need to do, what the level of care, what standard of care the Torah imposes in different contexts, when are you liable, when are you not liable, to get all the difficult details involved in the sugyas that you're learning, and totally not connect to what Hashem wants you to connect to. Right? It's possible we were learning Bava Kama when I was in the Mir many years ago, And as we were learning Bava Kama, while during this man of Bava Kama, it was a long winter's man, like this 6-month winter's man, and someone was, during Seder, someone was sitting like on the aisle seat, and he had his foot out into the aisle, and like someone tripped on his foot. It's like, you're learning Bava Kama. Like, what's going on with you? Like, you're spending all day, your entire day is about like not hurting other people. As you're learning Bava Kama, your foot is a boar. Like, what are you doing? Right? It's like the idea that you can be learning all of these things and not connecting to the ideas behind them. Right? When you're learning about, for instance, just again, one example, when it comes to Nezik and Bava Kama, it's supposed to be that you're supposed to think about, why is it that Hashem wants me to be so careful with regard to other people's property? Why is that true? Maybe it's a product of the fact that people work hard for their money. And they use that hard-earned money to buy things. And the things that they buy are their property. And inasmuch as that property represents the toil and the hard work that they did, maybe that toil and hard work that they did is worthy of respect. And the Torah imposes all of these obligations on me to respect the hard work, the toil of other people, and make sure that I don't treat the hard work that they did with any sort of disregard. Right? How could it be that I'm not careful with my own stuff and I end up damaging your property? Not just, okay, the Torah said do this, the Torah said do that. What type of attitude is that supposed to generate? How should I be relating to other people, to their time, to their property, to the value of the effort that they expended in attaining all of their property, the things that they have, right? You can learn the entire Maseches Bava Kamma and not have any connection to the ideas that it's supposed to generate inside you with regard to other people. There's a pasuk in last week's parsha, Kol Almana V'Yasom Lo Se'anun. Now, you're not allowed to persecute any widow or any orphan. Rashi says over there, it doesn't mean specifically widow and orphan, it really means anybody. The Torah just writes widow and orphan because those are the most vulnerable segments of society, they're the most subject to being taken advantage of. So the Torah writes Yasom V'Almana, but really it means anyone. You're not allowed to persecute anybody. There's a medrash on the psukim. First, the Torah says, "Kol almana v'yasom lo se'anun," and then it says, "Im anei ta'aneoso." If you do persecute him, then there's a punishment. So, im anei ta'anei, the double lashon. There's a medrash where there were two tanaim talking about this pasuk, and they were talking about the fact that one of them said to the other, I forget the names. One of them said to the other. One of the tanaim said, this quoted this pasuk, Imane ta'ane, double lashon. It means whether you're ma'anahim in a big way, you persecute him in a big way, or persecute him in a small way. What's a small way? So a small way, he says, is if he says to the other Tana, one of the Gedolei Hador, if anyone ever came to you because they needed judgment of some sort, they had a shaila, and you took a drink before you answered their question, you were over on this pasuk. Now, if you put on your shoes, right, before you answered their question, you made them wait outside, you were over on this pasuk. Right? Imane taneoso means you're supposed to develop a level of sensitivity for the time of other people, for the value of other people. You're supposed to respect other people in a very significant way. Rav Yerucham writes about himself that when he had his office in yeshiva, he said his door was always open. He never locked his door. And he said that it cost him a tremendous amount of bittul Torah. He writes this. Tremendous amount of bittul zman, I think it said, whatever. Tremendous amount of bittul zman, and he was much less organized when it came taking care of things he had to take. He was constantly being interrupted, right? There's a tremendous amount of bittul zman, a tremendous amount of disorder in dealing with whatever he had to take care of. But he said, I couldn't do it. It was such a cruelty to lock the door and make people wait for me. I only see people during this time, only see people during that time. He thought that was a violation of this pasuk. He thought that would be a violation of this pasuk to make people wait. He calls it a hashchasa. It's evil. It's a corrupt thing to do. Right? So again, these are sensitivities that people are able to cultivate by relating to the mitzvos beit adam l'chaveiro, not as dry acts that you either should or should not do, but as acts that are coming, commands that are coming to develop a certain sensitivity to other people. Hashem wants us to become different types of people as a result of the things that we are supposed to and not supposed to engage in. And for people who relate to mitzvos in a very sort of sanitary way, they're separate. These are acts that have nothing to do with developing attitudes. It's just things that I need to do or not do. So you're not going to get there. You're not going to be able to get to these levels of sensitivity that the Torah describes with regard to Hashem himself if you don't relate to the mitzvos bein adam l'chaveiro, as things that are coming to change you as an individual. Also in last week's parsha, it says in Kesef Talve Es Ami, right? If you lend money, this is the Isser of charging interest, but it's introduced in Kesef Talve Es Ami. If you lend money to my nation, Es Ha'ani Imach. Now, Es Ha'ani Imach literally means to the poor person who is with you. But Rashi brings down the Medrash, Es Ha'ani Imach means, Es Ha'ani Imach, you should look at yourself as if you're the Ani. Have a mistakel ba'atzmacha ki'ilu ata Ani. When you're giving that loan to the person who needs help, don't think, well, okay, there's a poor person. He's asking for a loan. Hashem said, give him a loan. I mean, if you do that, you'll get the mitzvah, but you will not be successful in cultivating the attitudes that Hashem wants you to think about. Hashem wants you to think about, what is it like to be that ani? To have to come to someone's door and ask for money. It's so embarrassing. It's so humiliating. It's so sad. Right? Think about what that is. He doesn't have money to buy his basic needs. He has to come to you. Before you give him that loan, you're supposed to identify with where he is emotionally. All right, that's supposed to develop your sensitivities. Es ani imach. Think about like you're the ani. Have a mistakel ba'atzmacha kilu ata ha'ani. If you don't do that, just give him the money, whatever, just go away, I don't want to deal with you, whatever. You don't say those words, but that's what you think. So technically you did the mitzvah, but you completely missed the boat. Es ani imach. If you're not identifying with him, if you're not trying to think about what that is, what it means to be an ani, and as a result of that, the giving is with a totally, totally different degree of rachmanos, of sensitivity, of mercy. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants when you're doing these acts that you're developing mercy and sensitivity for other people. Chas v'shalom to think that Chas v'shalom to think that the purpose of these mitzvos is to see to it that society runs smoothly, to see to it that people who need loans get loans, right? Chazal explicitly negate that way of understanding mitzvos made on l'chaveiro. They're there to develop us, the doers of the mitzvah. If Hashem wanted society to run smoothly and this person, Hashem needed this person to have money, he has plenty of ways to do it. Right? Hashem is telling us to lend money to people, to give tzedakah to people as a way of developing our own sensitivities. Right? Most likely many of us don't have opportunities to give loans to poor people, but we're giving tzedakah all the time. When you give tzedakah, think about what you're doing, right? The people come to the door, or you guys don't have this yet. People come to the door, you probably have it. People come to the door and you're just like, you just give them a check, goodbye. I don't want to deal with this, right? Think about what it means to go door to door and knock on people's doors. Most people don't answer the door. What does that mean? How does that feel? How demeaning is that? It's raining outside. The guy's walking around. It's freezing cold. Right? They come around. They have like the bags on their hats. Like, it's so demeaning. It's so sad. Right? They obviously are in such need. So if you don't have so much money to give them, you don't have to give them so much money. But you should be connecting to the difficulties that they're having, the sensitivities that you're supposed to be cultivating as a result of engaging in these mitzvos. When you guys, Mirtz Hashem, get older and you'll be giving tzedakah, think about, where do I want to give it? Which causes do I think are valuable? What am I trying to identify with? What am I trying to connect to? Don't just like, okay, I have to give Meister, so I give Meister, whatever, a little bit here, a little bit there. Try to connect to what you're doing. Try to think about the causes. Try to think about the people who are in need as a result of, as a way of having the tzedakah change you as a person, change you as an individual. Like the Rambam, famous Rambam, in Pirkei Avos, right, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Hakol lefi rov hamaisa, everything goes according to the multitude of the deeds that you do. The Rambam famously, in his Perish HaMishnayis over there in Pirkei Avos, the Rambam says, Hakol lefi rov hamaisa means, if you have $1,000 to give to tzedakah, it's much better to give $100 10 times than to give $1,000 once. Even though it's true, it's the same $1,000 that is now in the hands of poor people, and you parted with $1,000, and there's $1,000 by poor people. But if you give $1,000 once, it doesn't change you the same way. If you give $100 10 times, or $10 100 times, it's many more acts, reinforcing, giving, being generous, giving to other people. Hakol lefi rov hamaisa. The more that you do, the more acts in which you engage, the more it will change you as a person. If it was about the end result, there's $1,000 in stock either way. 100 times, one time, what does it matter? It's about you. Hakol lefi rov hamaisa. The stock has chose to convert you into a different type of person. All the mitzvos made Adam lachaveiro are trying to convert you into a different kind of person. The kind of person that Hashem evidences to us with the brick and the way Hashem was happy when we left Mitzrayim, those are the sensitivities that we're trying to cultivate all the time. So in terms of, you know, how the Torah can expect us to reach these levels of sensitivity and care, the answer is, the solution is in the Torah itself. The Torah describes Hashem acting with unbelievably high degrees of sensitivity, and we're supposed to emulate that. How are we supposed to do that? Just follow the Torah. Just do the mitzvahs that Hashem says to do. Stay away from the averus Hashem says not to do. Do the mitzvahs Hashem says to do, and connect to the ideas that undergird those things. Or think about them. Think about why Hashem wants you to be doing those things. Why does Hashem want you to be engaged in those things? What does this mean for us? You know, in our interactions with our friends, what does that mean? So a couple of things. First of all, trying to see things, you know, from other people's perspectives. You know, last week we spoke more about judging other people and the whole chakras example and all that. But over here, it's a different nakuda. Right? If you know that someone is going through a difficult time, they're going through a hard time in their life, something hard that they're experiencing, so remaining cognizant of that fact, keeping that brick in front of you all the time. And even after the thing passes, remembering that the person went through a difficult time, that things were hard for the person. Right? One of the most difficult things for a person who's going through a hard time is the fact that they feel so isolated. You know, they feel so lonely. And, you know, everybody's sort of, you know, to the extent that you don't think about it, you, the other person, don't think about it, so you're less likely to call the person, check in on them, how are they doing, right? A phone call to check in on a person, how you're feeling, what's going on, is there anything I can do to help you? Even if there's nothing you can do and you sort of know there's nothing you can do to help them, the fact that you call them and show that you're thinking about them removes a great degree of that isolation, right? You're keeping that brick in front of you. You know they're going through a hard time right now, and you're there for them. You're thinking about it. It's something that's on your mind, right? That's something that we should all be trying to do. Similarly, if you don't know that someone's going through a hard time, but you see that their performance in yeshiva has gone down. Remember, they're less consistent. They're not showing up as much. They're not around as much. So how do you relate to that, right? Do you like make some sort of a snide remark to the guy? I don't know, some snide remark. I can't think of a good example, right? But some sort of snide remark to the guy. Or you go over to him like in a concerned and a caring way and say, is everything okay? You know, is something bothering you? Is there anything I can do to help you? Right? I can't tell you how many times over the years that I've been teaching here, guys who've been going through a hard time, and for whatever reason, it's a private thing, they don't want to share with other people. They'll talk to me about the fact that, you know, because of the difficulty they're having, and it's something we've been discussing, whatever, so their performance has suffered, and how much salt is poured on their wounds by people who make remarks to them, like sarcastic remarks about the fact that they're not showing up, where are you, what's your story, I can't get out of bed, what's wrong with you, like, why are you saying that to the person, why do you think that's going to be helpful, that is not a helpful thing to do. Right? Try to think about the other person. If you don't know anything's wrong, assume something is wrong. Right? Don't judge the person negatively. Right? Get into his world. What would it be like if you were going through something difficult? And as a result of that, you weren't able to perform the way you would like to perform, the way you normally perform. It's going to help that friends of yours, say things to you that are negative, that put you down. That's going to be fruitful. That's going to be a productive thing. Chas v'shalom to do that. Chas v'shalom to do that. So if you know someone's going through a hard time, to be there for them, to be sensitive, keep the brick in front of you, even after the thing passes, realizing that difficulty they experienced might come up in other contexts. It might have bearing on other experiences in their lives. The brick is still there at Matan Torah. Hashem knows the brick is still present at Matan Torah. And if someone is going through something, you don't know someone's going through something, but you see them having a hard time, chas v'shalom to say something negative, adarabba, you should be choshesh that something is wrong, something's going on, why is he performing that way? It's not like him to perform that way. Don't judge him negatively. Chas v'shalom, judge him negatively. You should give him the benefit of the doubt. Talk to him. Ask him what's going on. Secondly, right? Work this etzem hashamayim latohar, that there was happiness and light in front of Hashem at the time that Klal Yisrael was redeemed. So we have to really work on being happy for other people, right? We have a hard time doing that. We're good at feigning happiness when other people have good things happening to them. But it's oftentimes hard for us, right? Something's going well for somebody else. So certainly if it's something that you yourself are pursuing, something else that you would like, something that you would like to have, and that person gets it before you or gets it better than you, whatever the thing is, it's hard for us to connect to that. It's hard for us to connect. We feel jealous. We feel threatened by it. You know, one of my Rebbeim pointed out that, you know, very often a person who Chas v'Shalom was ill, right, they get better, so they make a sudas hoda. They'll make a suda to thank Hashem for the fact that they're better and invite all of their friends. That's like a common thing. Right? If someone wins the lottery, you don't make a sudas hoda. You don't do that. Why not? What's the difference? Because when you're going from being deathly ill to being okay, people can be happy for you. That's fine. They'll come. Everybody will be happy. They're genuinely happy. You just won, you know, $100 million, and you're going to, like, take everybody out on a night on the town, they hate your guts. Right? They're so jealous, right? They can't be happy for you for that, right? So when something very, very good happens, right? There's no minik to make a suda sada. You don't do that. Keep it to yourself. People shouldn't find out. Shouldn't find out about the great things that happen to you because people are jealous, right? Ideally, this wouldn't be true. Ideally, we'd be able to be happy at other people's successes, be happy for other people. But we suffer. We have a hard time with it. We're threatened by other people. We're jealous of other people. Somehow we think that Hashem doesn't have enough money, that if he got all that money, I'm not going to get it. If he got the job, I'm not going to get a good job. Somehow we think that's a thing. Right? It's not like that, but we struggle with these things. Right? The same way that Hashem being happy for us, Hashem is definitely not threatened by us, but Hashem is trying to teach us that's the way we need to relate to other people. And finally, you know, this idea from the beginning, the Medrash at the beginning, was such a beautiful sensitivity in Ben Adam LaFavero. It relates to this point that we just said. The fact that we have such a difficulty dealing with the successes, the successes of other people, makes it extremely hard for us. If someone has some sort of big success, but there's some element that's negative, and they bring up that element that's negative, like this idea of the Chisaron Kiss involved in building the Mishkan, we're going to be able to be there for them? What do you mean? If they have something that happens that's 95% positive, 5% negative, and they bring up the 5% negative to you, how are you going to deal with that? You're so jealous of the 95%, you can't deal, you're going to like make him feel better about the 5%, right? You're still struggling with the fact that things are going well for him. It's so hard for you to deal with that. How are you going to develop the sensitivity to be there for him in the small aspect that's negative, right? That idea from the beginning of the Medrash, the beginning of the Parsha. And just an example, I had an example in my own life with this. You know, we, towards the beginning of Corona, my oldest daughter got married, and we made a wedding during Corona. And it was our first grandchild on both sides, and no one was able to come. You know, not my parents, in-laws, all my siblings, whatever. No one was able to come. So it was, obviously, it was amazing. My daughter's getting married. It was great. We were very happy about that. It was also very hard for us that our parents couldn't be there. It was very, very, very hard. It was very hard leading up to the wedding. Crazy. Yes, maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't come. It was craziness. They did not come. And there were two types of people. You know, leading up to the wedding, there were two types of people. You know, there were people that we would meet, and they would say, you know, this everybody was making a wedding at that time. It was like all people spoke about. So your parents, like, they're going to come, that, right? So no, they're not coming, right? So then there were two types of responses. You know, some people would say, well, you know, at least your daughter's getting married. It's such a big simcha. Okay, so your parents are not there, whatever, right? They latched onto the positive aspect of it and completely negated the negative aspect of it. And then there were people who, you know, would say, wow, Baruch Hashem, what an amazing simcha, your daughter's getting married. It must be so hard for you that your parents can't be there. That felt a lot better. It felt a lot better to have a person connect also on the negative aspect. Yes, Baruch Hashem, tremendous simcha, my daughter's getting married. Overall, I'm much happier that my daughter's getting married and my parents can't come, then she shouldn't get married. Yes, that's all true. But at the end of the day, there's still an aspect of atzvos associated with the simcha. It's not a full simcha. And for someone to be able to connect on that level, to me, was much more meaningful than someone who tries to negate the negative. Oh, big deal. You know, in the scheme of things, this is very positive. Slicha, that's my avoda. I'm supposed to be thinking like that. You, as a person who's caring for me and being sensitive to my feelings, right? My avoda is, oh, Baruch Hashem, my daughter's getting married. Okay, my parents can't make it. Right? You, as the person who's interacting with me and thinking about my experience, if you're doing it in a shalem way, the Medrash is teaching from the beginning of the parsha, a shalem way of interacting with another person is connecting to the simcha, but also being there for the person, the negative aspect of whatever it is, right? Developing your sensitivities to a place where you're able to connect to all the aspects of what's going on. We spend every morning we spend in this room analyzing, picking apart, paying close attention to detail. And then when it comes to other people's lives, whatever, it's basically good. It's basically good, right? If you can identify aspects of the experience that are negative, so you should be there for them in the negativity. You should be there for them. Right? There's so many examples of this. If you think in your own life and people come to you with something overall positive that's going on, there's some negative aspect to it. Are you there for them in that negative aspect? Do you quickly negate it? Certainly in a scenario where whatever that positive thing is, there's something you yourself want or you yourself wish you had, right? It requires a real gadol b'midos to be able to connect to the negative aspect of whatever the thing is and to comfort them as a result of that. This idea that we struggle so much in Bein Adam LaChavero, it's so hard for us to connect to these levels of sensitivities, notwithstanding the fact that we have so many mitzvahs at our disposal to facilitate cultivating these sensitivities. Rav Yerucham, in a different place, talks about the fact, he makes the following observation. I thought this is just a godless of an observation. We'll finish with this. He says that there's a phenomenon whereby, and I think we've all experienced this, you can have people who are extremely punctilious in their observance of Bein Adam LaMakom, right? And their tefillin, their davening, their learning, whatever, they're unbelievable, so serious, so careful about all the details. And Bein Adam LaChavero, they're really lacking. Like, they're really not there. Bein Adam LaChavero, you have a person who Bein Adam LaMakom is in an unbelievably high place, objectively so. But Bein Adam LaChavero, he's so lacking, like, he's so not there, Bein Adam LaChavero. What's the pshat? Where does that come from? So Rav Yerucham says the following thing. This is a tremendous amkus to this. He says that the reason why that's the case is because from the time that we're little, we're constantly being told about how special Hashem is, how great He is. He created the world. He gave us the Torah. He's the all-powerful, right? This idea of Hashem being the Melech, of Hashem being in total control of us, total control of our lives, the fact that we owe Him everything that we have, that's an idea that we get from the time that we're little. It becomes part of the way we think, part of the way we process, and as a result, any mitzvah that relates to Hashem, we sort of have a running start with regard to keeping it in a careful, painstaking way. But Bein Adam LaChavero, no one's giving that to us. We don't get that. An occasional line from someone, an occasional line from a Rebbe, from a teacher, from a parent, an occasional line about how you have to be careful with your friend. But the idea, like Rav Yerucham writes, to be mamlich your friend, to relate to your friend as a melech, to relate to him as a chashuv person, we don't get that. So our Bein Adam LaMakom can skyrocket at the same time that our Bein Adam LaChavero is suffering. We're floundering in our Bein Adam LaChavero because we haven't developed those sensitivities. No one was telling us from a young age to relate to other people like malachim, like kings, like to treat them with tremendous respect, to relate to their feelings, relate to their needs, their desires, their sensitivities with a tremendous amount of care. No one told us that. And as a result of that, we end up suffering for years, for decades. Our Bein Adam LaChavero lags way behind our Bein Adam LaMakom, which is a major problem. So much of the Torah, so much of what Hashem wants from us is for us to develop ourselves into holier, more sensitive, more caring people. And these midrashim that you find scattered throughout Parshas Mishpatim, the beginning of Parshas Truma, are all trying to convey to us the levels of sensitivity that a person is capable of achieving if they follow the Torah's directives. Shabbos.